The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Oh, God, our help me.
I'm glad that you've joined us for the broadcast today and pray that the message will be a blessing to you. I'll certainly appreciate it if you'll write and let us know that you have listened. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. If you request it, we will send you a copy of our publication with articles that I believe will be a blessing to you. Today we bring the second part of a message entitled Nothing Too Hard. The text is Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning with the 26th verse. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This is a basic truth, but it's one that we need to be reminded of because we so easily can be distracted and discouraged by the unfolding of the events of time around us. May our faith be strengthened as we recall the mighty acts of our God, the greatness of His power displayed on behalf of His people in years gone by, and to know that He is the same today. When we concluded the message last time, we were talking about the fact that the disciples had witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000. But now they're in a storm. They're deeply troubled as the waves are tossing the ship about. Jesus comes walking on the water. They did not recognize who He was, and they were alarmed. And so often it is with us. If we don't have clear vision, we can have our imagination run away with us, and we do not have the faith and strength that we ought in that difficult time. But as Jesus approached the boat and said, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter asked to come to Jesus on the water, and Jesus invited him to come, but he soon began to sink because he was looking at the waves and not at Jesus. And then Jesus says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Surely all of us can read a part of our experience here to know that there are those times when we have gotten our eyes off the Lord. We've looked at the circumstances of life, and we have doubted rather than to trust Him. I hope that in this message today we can be assured that nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for the Lord.
Have you forgotten the fact that you were present when I fed 5,000? Have you forgotten the fact that I am the Son of God? Had you forgotten that I could take care of you? He was looking at the waves instead of at Jesus, and he went down. And when you begin to look at the angry waves that toss us about in the midst of our troubles in life, you'll sink. You need to keep your eye on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. No doubt this is a truth that you sometime have forgotten. You acknowledge the truth. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I'm sure Abraham would go up. I believe that with God, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Yes. Yes would be your answer. I know that our God is sovereign, omnipotent, working his will. You might recall the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. With God, all things are possible. You might have that in a plaque on your wall. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. All things are possible. You may have marked it in your Bible when you were reading. And, oh, that's good. I need to remember that. And if you're like I am and you underline certain passages or you put a circle around it, you would say, I want to remember that. You might have been reading a book and the author refers to this truth and you underline that. You say, I believe it. But when troubles come, you tend to forget. You can't understand, Lord, why am I having to endure this trial? It's painful. It hurts. I'm struggling. You say, I don't see any solution to the problem. If I could figure out a way that I could resolve all this difficulty, if I could bring it to a quick end, that would be one thing, but I don't see. And then you get restless and say, well, I do believe God can do something. Why isn't he doing something? Where is he? That was the struggle Habakkuk had when he decided, here's all this evil going on and God is ignoring it. God is doing nothing. And then the Lord told him, I am doing something. And when he told him what he was doing, Habakkuk didn't like it. You see, we sometimes complain because we don't like God's plan and purpose for us. So it's so easy when troubles come to forget and to be full of worry and anxiety. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Answer that in your own heart at the moment. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It is a useful truth. And to be reassured of it, it is helpful to remember. Book of 1 Corinthians tells us that these things, referring to the Old Testament writings, were written for our learning and admonition. You go through the Old Testament and you see over and over again a demonstration of the power of God to confirm nothing is too hard for the Lord. These are not stories just to read to little children. Certainly it's appropriate to read to them. But it's not just for little children. It's for big children. It's for all of us to review the great things God has done. We've already talked about that great deliverance at the Red Sea. What a day of triumph that was. And although they complained, God still fed them, brought down the manna, and brought water from the rock. After their wanderings in the wilderness for 40 years, they came to the crossing of Jordan, and he rolled back the waters of Jordan so that they could come into the promised land. Now they're confronted with the walled city of Jericho. How can these people who have been slaves and now for 40 years have been wanderers in the wilderness take that city? And God says, you're to take it. This land belongs to you. I gave it to your father Abraham by covenant a long time ago. I want you to conquer it. How are we going to do it? Well, God gave them a plan. March around the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, go around seven times. And when you finish, blast on the horns. Now, no military leader would ever have advised that. Some of them may have felt this is absurd. Marching around the walls is not going to accomplish anything. Now, they were told not to talk, because if they were allowed to talk, about day three, somebody would be mumbling at least under their breath, "Isn't this absurd?" By day five, they say, "We're making a spectacle out of ourselves." There's probably people up on the wall looking at them, thinking, "You know, what's going on here anyway?" Somebody would say, "If I could get by with it, I'd go home. My feet are hurting. I'm tired of marching. I don't like this business." But God said, "March." And finally, on the seventh day, they went around six times, and nothing happened. But they went around seven times, the number seven, the number of completeness. They completely obeyed. They did what God ordered, and the walls fell flat to the ground. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He can bless a bunch of wanderers from the wilderness to have victory and conquer a city. He protected Daniel. The king really didn't want to put him in the lion's den. He appreciated Daniel, but he had been manipulated into signing a document that if anybody prayed to any other god than his pagan god, they'd have to be put into the den of lions. The old king was troubled. He had a rough night. But he comes out to early in the morning and looks in and says, "Oh, Daniel, was thy God able to deliver thee?" And Daniel said, I'm fine. I had a good night. Slept well. The Lord sent his angel, closed the mouths of the lions. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He delivered Daniel from the den of lions. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow when the king wanted them to honor his image. They said, we can't do it. The king didn't want to destroy them. He said, I'm going to give you another opportunity. We're going to play the music one more time, and everybody is to bow to my image. And the music played, and everybody bowed, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they said, we got to heat the furnace hotter than it's ever been heated. In fact, it was so hot that the men that carried them to pitch them in died from the heat. But here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in the middle of the fire. And the king looks in and says, I thought we cast in three, and I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Bring them out. They bring them out, and they didn't even smell like smoke. God delivered them. The Lord himself personally visited them. The Lord was there to protect them in the fire. Oh, to remember. And then we think about the New Testament. Peter was in jail. The church was praying, Lord, deliver Peter. Get him out of jail. The Lord gets him out. He comes, knocks on the door. Little girl goes back to answer the door. She sees Peter, scared to death, thinks that's a ghost. She slams the door in his face. Peter knocks again. Now, here's the people praying, Lord, get Peter out of jail. And when he shows up, they can hardly believe it. Have you ever had that situation where you prayed for something when it happened to one? Is this an answer to prayer? Did this just happen anywhere? What's this all about? God delivered him. And then there was the Apostle Paul, who was on a ship that encountered a terrible, terrible storm. It lasted for 2 weeks. Can you imagine that? Being on a ship in any kind of a storm for a short period of time. His terrible experience. But Paul was there for 2 weeks. And he said, let's stay with the ship. God has informed me that if you stay with the ship, there'll be no loss of life. God took care of his servant under the most difficult of circumstances. So it's a useful truth. It gives you comfort to recall what God has done. It gives you courage. Courage to go forward. But think about Gideon. He had an army of 32,000. The number's now reduced to 300. There could have been some anxiety in that. This doesn't look good. 300 of us going out to face the enemy. I divide into companies of 100 each, so three companies are out there surrounding the enemy. They have lights, they have pitchers, they have horns. At the given signal, they break the pitcher, they shine the light, they blow on the horn, and the army at hand, being asleep, and some of them in a drunken stupor, get up and begin to fight among themselves, and the enemy is defeated. God took just a little band of 300. And they came crying, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." And God gave them the victory. Think about the victory that David enjoyed. Here, Goliath, coming day after day with his insults, speaking against the army of the Most High God, but no soldier was willing to go. Here comes David from tending his father's sheep. He said, "I'll go. I've had experience. God blessed me to kill a bear and one at a time a lion. I'm ready to go." They thought it was foolish for this young man to go. But in 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And you know the story. With one sling, the stone struck the giant in the forehead, and David had victory. We referred recently to Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, he said, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." See, it gives you courage. Do you believe it? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Furthermore, it gives you hope. Gives you hope. Sometimes a personal struggle with a sense of guilt. They think about sins of the past that still haunt them. They say, "I've confessed my sin, but I don't feel forgiven." Is anything too hard for the Lord? You can't put away your sin, but God can. Psalm 103:10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is his mercy toward them that fear him." Get this: as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever your sin may be, whatever haunts you from the past, whatever troubles you from last week, whatever burden of sin you carry today, can be put away. His promise is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Micah 7:19 says, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea." Beautiful figurative language is used to console us with the thought that sin is put away. And then, if you believe that with God, nothing is beyond his power, nothing is too hard for the Lord, you can then have comfort to believe that he has a purpose in what you do not understand. Now, we talked about Jeremiah being the weeping prophet. In the passage we're going to look at in Jeremiah 32, he was in prison. He was not in prison because he was a criminal. He was in prison because he delivered God's message, and the people said, "We don't want it. Lock this man up. We don't like what he has to say." So he's already in prison. And Jeremiah said, chapter 32:6, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy." I said, what strange thing is this? Jeremiah is in prison for being faithful. And God sends his uncle to him and says, I want you to buy a field. A field that Jeremiah would probably never see. And he has to dig out what little money he might have and pay for it. And this was important enough that it gives a detailed description of how the deed was signed and then put in a secure place that it would not be lost. What was that all about? Well, God had a purpose in it. It was a declaration that after complete destruction, which Jeremiah had prophesied, and that's why the people locked him up. They didn't want to hear that. Even though it was true, even though it was God's message, he said, you know, we like to think, we like to be positive. We don't want to hear anything negative. But the fact was, destruction was coming. But the purpose of him buying that field was for God to convey the message that after destruction, there would be a gathering of the people and a day that the field would ultimately be inhabited. Now, I can't help but believe that Jeremiah was a bit perplexed initially. Here I am in prison, and God wants me to buy a field I'll never see. Now, there may be times when God is at work in your life, and you think, Lord, why? What on earth are you telling me? What do you want me to do? Why do I have to deal with this difficult situation when I just don't even understand? Furthermore, when you believe this truth, gives you bright expectation. He is the God of hope. So as long as you believe in God, believe he's the God of hope, you can never say, I'm hopeless. Gives you bright expectation because you know that he has the power to keep his promises. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it too hard for the Lord to keep his promises? No, he keeps every promise. So you can go to Jeremiah 33:3 and read, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That gives you hope. That gives you hope. Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I always get the picture in my mind of a little bird in the nest, the mouth wide open, waiting for the mother bird to bring the worm. God says, open thy mouth wide. Some of you may at times get down in the dark places and you don't have your mouth open. You've got it closed because you're not expecting anything good to happen. You say, everything that happened to me is bad. I don't need to open my mouth. I've closed it in hopelessness. No, God said, if you believe, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Furthermore, this truth is useful because it brings you to realize that God uses weak things, and since with him nothing is impossible, then you, if you see yourself to be weak, don't have to fold your hands and say, I quit. I can't be useful. There's nothing I can do. I give up. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now you say, I don't feel like I'm much. Do you qualify for this? Are you weak? Do you say, I need help. Not much I see that I can do, but God uses the weak things. That includes you. There's a place for you. There's a place for you to serve. And then, is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. Many a time I've stood at a graveside and said, you have done everything you can do for this loved one. You saw that they got the best medical care possible. You were by their bedside during their sickness. You reminded them that you loved them. You've come here to give respect as their body is laid to rest in the earth. You've gone as far as you can go. But I want to tell you about one that goes farther. I want to tell you what's in store. This body that's laid to rest is not going to always stay in this grave. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, sir. He came out of the grave, and he's going to bring his people out of the grave in total victory and triumph. There, in that time, to be conformed to his perfect image. That was his purpose. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that conformity will take place totally in the resurrection. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes, we go as far as we can go with our loved ones, but our arm is short. We can't go any farther, but we look to one who goes farther, and one day we'll come back, and there will be total victory and triumph with him forever. God is sovereign. He is almighty. He is the creator. He is omnipotent. He is sovereign as he rules over heaven and earth. He is sovereign in the salvation of sinners. He is sovereign over the afflictions that come to his people. Nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for the Lord. Aren't you glad to know that? Believe that today. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. With God, all things are possible. You're not facing any trouble that's out of his control. If you're a sinner, convicted that you are guilty before God, your sin is great. The good news of the gospel is that there is no case too hard for the Lord. He can break the hardest heart. He can change the most obstinate rebel. He can cleanse the vilest of sinners, because salvation is by his grace. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. Saving even the greatest of sinners, salvation is of the Lord.
Savior, I come to thee.
Case too hard for the Lord. How good to be reminded that he can reach down in the very depth and lift up the beggar from the dunghill to inherit a throne of glory, because salvation is by his sovereign grace through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ when he went to the cross and put away sin on behalf of all of those who will ultimately believe in him. I hope that you will write us, and until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.